And this morning we want to come to you with a message that I hope will be of a comfort to you and also enlighten you as to something that maybe you have never understood about how God sometimes has to answer prayer. The story is told of a colored preacher who took his wife and went to preach a week-long revival in a faraway town. They accepted the arrangement that they would be paid for their time there with a love offering. They bought tickets and boarded the train and went and preached the revival. And then at the close of the revival, the offering that had been taken up during the week as a love offering was given to them, but it was only enough money to buy a one-way ticket back home. And you remember now, he had taken his wife with him to the revival. The preacher did not complain, did not say anything, accepted it, went out and bought his wife a ticket, and put her on the train back home. And he himself, as the train pulled out, began walking down the track behind it. As he traveled along in his loneliness and disappointment, a song came to him. And the name of that song is one that you may know, Leave It There. The song goes like this: if the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His Word how He feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Can the Lord take our burdens and Himself not become burdened? Is it possible that our burdens can become the Lord's burdens? Now, the Lord can experience burdens. We have no doubt about that. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord was delivered to Malachi. And in this instance, the Lord's burden was caused by backsliding Israel. Their worship had become hypocritical. Their offerings had become worthless. Their morals had become disgusting. And they had praises not for God, Jehovah, but they had praises for other foreign gods. And so all of this caused the Lord to be burdened. And we have no doubt that sin places a burden upon the Lord. Now, the word burden means to bear a heavy load, to encounter some unpleasant difficulty, or to face a grievous problem. Now, we know that sin does place a burden upon the Lord. We learn that in Malachi. They weary Him. Malachi, again, chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says, you have wearied the Lord. You have wearied the Lord with your sins. And we also know that sin can cast the burden upon the Lord because we know the Holy Spirit can become grieved. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is God. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Sin's burdens do not roll off God's back like water off a duck's back. We sing, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Have you ever thought that God's burdens are lifted as well as the sinner's burdens? Most folks never understand this. The Lord can't wish away a sin burden. The Lord just can't wish away any kind of burden. Now, repentance is the only way that God can get relief from a sin burden. Have you ever thought about that? Repentance is the only way God gets relief from a sin burden. It was to Israel, He told Malachi, tell them to repent. And by doing so, in changing their way, God gets relief from Israel from their sin burden. God told Malachi He had a deep burden because of their sin. But He also directed Malachi how he could get relief from the burden. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away. From my ordinances, have not kept my commandments, return to me. Now there is the answer for God to get rid of the burden. Return to me. To do that, they would have to repent. And I'll return to you, says the Lord. And so Malachi is told repentance is necessary before God can get relief from the burden. And by the way, folks, sin puts a burden on the Christian, and you're not getting any relief from any kind of burden until you get rid of your sin. It works both ways. It's a burden to the sinner, and it's a burden to God. So often we come to God, oh God, I'm bringing you my burden. I got all kind of burdens, and we don't get rid of the sin burden. That's one of the greatest burdens that we have standing between us and the Lord. And so Israel's repentance was the key of relieving God of this kind of burden that God has. Now, there are many burdens that God receives and God has that are not related to sin. That is, there are all types of burdens. One I just talked about is the sin burden. In Psalms 55:22, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now, I don't believe he's talking primarily here about the sin burden, although that's one you should definitely cast upon the Lord in repentance and ask the Lord to take away the guilt in your life and give you peace again. But he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And this, I think, would entail all kinds of burdens. And there are far too many for me this morning to take time to number, because you yourself probably this day have 2 or 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 burdens. Burdens are a common lot of life. It's one of the results of man's fall into sin. When men sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought burdens to bear upon themselves and upon their descendants. And so all of us, from time to time, have one or more burdens going at the same time. And so the psalmist says, cast thy burden on the Lord. I've often said, that's a lot easier said than done, brother psalmist. It's easy to say, cast thy burden on the Lord, but it's hard for us to do this. Now, I believe God is open to our burdens. I believe God is sensitive to our burdens. I believe God is touched by our burdens. He's concerned when we are sorrowful. That's nothing but natural for a father to do. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 to 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, but was in all points himself tested, just as we are, yet he never sinned. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and what else? And find grace to help in time of need. We are invited, we're encouraged, we are urged, we are even commanded. When you are burdened, come to the Lord. He has grace, helping grace, sustaining grace, comforting grace. He does care. God does want us to lay our cares at His feet. The colored preacher was right. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. As he walked down the railroad track, every step would be to me a reminder of my burden, my financial burden. I couldn't get back home. My wife was gone. And yet he said, take it to the Lord and leave it there. When he got home, may not have been very pleasant on his feet, but he got home. He took his burden to the Lord, and he said, leave it there. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, go to God's throne, and you shall find grace to help in time of need. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon the Lord. Why? Doesn't he know about it? Yeah. Do I have to remind him? Yes. But does he care? The Bible says, cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible is true. His interest in our difficulties and our sorrows is not a heartless kind of concern. When we, as the song suggests, take it to the Lord and leave it there, when we take our burdens to the Lord and we attempt to leave them there, what does the Lord do with them? That's a good question. There's no difficulty in us taking our concerns to the Lord and our burdens. We do have some difficulty in leaving them there. But if we are successful at leaving our burdens at the Lord's feet, what's He going to do with them? I believe, first of all, He's touched by your concern and by your grief. And He does say, as I look at Him, I care. But then I think He also says, and I promise you, that I will be in a process. I'll begin to do something. I'll begin to make a program. I'll begin to make some plans. I'll begin to do some kind of work to bring about some kind of relief, some kind of solution to the burden you brought me. I will look into it. I will do something about it. It will take me some planning. It will take me some time. It will take me some servants. But I promise you I'll do something about it. So often we don't have patience to wait on God to do something about the burden that we leave there. But I promise you, he says, I will put it in the hopper. I will begin the process, your request. Some say, well, I know what God does, how he handles the burdens. Just like most people, he'll just forget about it. That's the way most people handle your burdens. They just forget about it as soon as they walk away from you. Or they say, well, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it. Or some would say, well, he'll just toss them in the heavenly file 13, the garbage can. He'll just totally forget about it. And so, what will God do with the burdens that you lay at his feet? I don't think God has any kind of magic star that he can use to make everything disappear, to make everything right for us. I don't believe God just tosses our requests behind his back and the burdens and just says, well, I see you have problems, but baby, that's just the way it is. I don't believe God has that attitude. I believe sins can be forgotten by God once they are forgiven. That is the burden. But the other kind of burdens, I think God has to do something with them. He has to do something about that. That's what his promise is. Now, some burdens are of the nature that God can send a miraculous, supernatural miracle. He seldom does, but I'm saying some burdens can be handled that way. We would like for all burdens to be handled that way. And when we think about the power of God and the almighty nature of God, we say, well, that's the way God should handle these things. He's powerful, he's mighty, he can do whatever he wills, and so he can just snap his fingers and this burden can be taken away. That's normally not the way God handles burdens, although I will say sometimes he does. But let me tell you what I think God really does with the burdens that you bring to him and I bring to him. He goes out immediately in search of somebody else to unload that burden on. I say, what do you mean? Every time you come to God with a burden that you can't handle, God's going to go out and find somebody else to put that burden on. That's normally the way God works. And so God has lots of burdens coming in on the telephone lines or whatever, email lines today. The burdens are pouring in to God's heart. And so God is busy. I've got to take care of this one now. And then who can I find that will know this person, that I can get in contact with this person, that I can have this person's path crossed? Where can I find a person now to use to bring solution to this other person's burden? And so to do that, though, I'm going to have to drop that person's burden on this other person. You say, well, man, I got enough burdens of my own, preacher. God, don't send me no more burdens. But God says, oh, I may have to. Somebody else is giving me a burden besides you, and you're the solution to the other person's burden. I need your help. Oh, don't call on me, brother. I got troubles. I don't want anybody else's troubles. But God says, wait a minute. I'm taking your troubles, and I'm putting them on somebody else's back. Now, wait a minute. Somebody's going to come to you and help you with get rid of your burden. I'm putting your burden on them. I just don't want no more. I don't want no more burdens. Now, I'm telling you, folks, when you take it to the Lord and leave it there, what does God do with the burden? He begins to try to find somebody he can put that burden on that'll help you unload your burden. The more burdens the Lord gets, the busier you and I are going to end up having to get. That's the way it is. You need to understand this. You understand this principle. Then Galatians 6:2 will make some sense to you. Bear ye one another's burdens, and this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. What law? In a sense, God's promise that if you'll bring your burdens to him, he'll help you. He'll care for you. He's made a law for himself to obey. I will help you. And then Paul says, yeah, but we must bear one another's burdens. You say, no, wait a minute. You tell me to cast my burdens on the Lord, and then you're telling me now to cast our burdens on each other. Which one of these is right now? Well, they both are. the burden that gets cast on the Lord is more than likely going to end up in some brother or sister's hands to solve, to help you. Jesus makes the promise, though, that He'll keep the burdens light. Remember that scripture in Matthew 11:30? For my yoke is easy, and my burden, the load that I'll give you. What load? What burden? Now, some folks say, well, that's the burden of obedience. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever say obeying His laws is a burden. I mean, in the Old Testament, at one time the Israelites said it, and God really got angry with them. At no time does God ever say obeying His laws is a burden. Though a lot of Christians take that attitude, oh, do I have to do that? Oh, do I have to obey that law? As though the laws of God are a burden. God's laws are never a burden. Now, the yoke is that God says, you know, I'm yoked up. And a cow was placed in a yoke, and the yoke forced the cow to serve. You see? And God says, I'm going to put on you the yoke of a servant. I'm going to be on one side of the yoke, and you're going to be on the other side of the yoke, and I've got a burden, and you're going to help me pull the burden. But I promise you, I'll keep it light. I'll not put other people's burdens on you more than you can handle. I'll spread around. I'll be yoked together with all the believers. But I tell you, I'm going to put a yoke on you, and it's the same yoke that's on me, and it is my brother or my child has brought me a burden, and I want you to help me in this one. I want you to pull with me. I want you to serve this person with me in this instance. And I believe the burdens mentioned here represent problems and troubles and needs that all of us have that the Lord gets and laid at His feet and wants solved. And He says, I can solve these if I can yoke myself together with a brother or with my child. I can share my feelings and my heart with them, and their heart will feel as I do, and then the burden that has been brought to me and left there, we can solve together, and the brother we help will rejoice and give God praise. When God became heavy-hearted for Israel, what did He do? And He went out and got Malachi and laid the burden on Malachi. And Malachi felt the burden of God and began to preach to the people to repent. When God felt burdened, remember, for the Ethiopian eunuch, what did He do? He called old Philip to run a foot race, catch up with the chariot. He calls Philip to explain to the Ethiopian eunuch what it meant as he read in Isaiah, and the eunuch got saved. God had a burden for a lost man. What's God going to do with the lost people? Well, folks, somebody's got to talk to him. And so, this instance, God said, I'm going to yoke up with old Philip. And old Phil's going to run up, and we're going to catch up with that guy, and we're going to witness to him. Now, I don't think anybody else had a desire that day to talk to that eunuch but Philip. You know what? Israel was under bondage to Egypt, and they were crying and laying their burden at God's feet. What did God do? He went out and got Moses. Didn't work a great miracle. He didn't work miracles, but he first went and got Moses. And worked through Moses to deliver the Israelites. You remember the cry of the people in Macedonia in Acts 16:19-10? And when the people in Macedonia cried out, we need some help over here. Please send somebody, God. And a vision appeared to Paul at night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over here, Paul, to Macedonia. What did God do to relieve his burden? He sent Paul. Paul then said, well, I don't want to go down there. I mean, I've got my own plans. And yet, Paul began to feel the heart burden of God from Macedonia, and so Paul canceled his plans, and Paul went to Macedonia. But the point is, the Lord yoked himself together with another person. The burden of the people in Macedonia was laid on Paul. The burden of the Israelites was laid on Moses. When Adam and Eve sinned, condemning themselves and all their descendants to hell, the greatest burden of all burdens was upon the Lord. What did He do about it? Well, John chapter 10. And the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. What did He do? He said, Son, this is the picture in heaven now. He said, Son, I got a burden for all those lost people down there, Adam and Eve and all this. I have a burden. He said, yeah, Father. And I began to feel your burden, Father. And the Father said, yeah, you know, The only way to relieve those people of the burden of hell is for me to send them you. And I want you to go down there and take on their burden. And I want you to die in their place and experience the hell they deserve. Son, I'm going to send you to take their burden. And the son said, you know, I'll go. Now, folks, no burden God asked us to take is ever as great as that burden. And yet the father said, I've got to send someone. I've got to call on someone. I can't just speak a magic word. I just can't work a magic miracle. I've got to send someone to be a substitute and die in their place and take the penalty of their sin. And son, you're the one. And I believe the son could have said, no, I won't go. But the son went, or the son came, however you want to look at it. And the burden of the world's sin and the death upon that sin was laid upon Jesus. What I'm saying is we need to make ourselves available to God, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, to share in the burdens that people lay before Him every day. The promise is I'll keep them light. I'll spread them around. I won't get you all the burdens of all the people. I promise you that I'll be yoked together with you. You'll have my strength. You'll have my power as far as being able to do these things. I'm the one that's going to really help accomplish the feat, but I do need you. I'll give you wisdom. I'll be present with you. And I'll make sure that you're the one that can do what I need. I won't put in your heart a burden for something that I know that you can't do because of your lack of intelligence, your lack of education, your lack of ability, your lack of circumstances. For many, many reasons, I'm not the one qualified to help that person. I'm just not. I could try, but I'd be God's second best, or third best, or fourth best, and I think sometimes God has to drop down to that. But I'm not God's first best. I'm not the best candidate because there's something I'm missing. But there's a burden that someone would have that would be the ideal person to go and do it. I also promise you that as you do this is one of the ways that you're going to receive great joy and great happiness and great reward in being a disciple with me. This is something that you'll enjoy doing. I don't know whether the Lord has a burden for people to hear His Word. But I think He does, to hear His Word. And I feel like maybe as I get on the radio that I am helping the Lord reach somebody that I could do it best. Maybe there's somebody this morning that's listening to me that I'm the one that God has picked to speak to you about something. And I'm the best one to do it this morning for you. I'm not the best preacher in the world, but sometimes God will pick me for a certain person, and what I say as a preacher is designed to help them. And maybe I can do it best at that moment. And somebody else will come along after me who is a preacher, and they'll do it best for somebody else. That's kind of the way I feel. And so God works through people, all His people, to relieve the burdens of other people. There's no need really for God to share His power if I'm not going to share in helping lift people's burdens. Why should God bless me if I'm not going to use that blessing to help other people get their prayers answered? And so for every burden the Lord gets, there's a corresponding work for somebody to do. A man named Billy Bray was an old Cornish preacher. And on occasion, he was met by a member of the Society of Friends. He said, Mr. Bray, said the Quaker, I have often observed the unselfish life, and I feel interested in you. The Lord has put a burden on me for you. And I believe the Lord wants me to help you. I don't know why, but He wants me to help you. So if you'll come by my house, I believe I have a suit of clothes that would fit you, and I would like for you to have. They're almost never been worn. The only thing is, I'm not sure they'll fit, but you come by. And old Billy Bray said this, I will come by, and there's no doubt in my mind that suit of clothes will fit me perfectly. If the Lord told you that they were for me, they're going to fit, because the Lord knows the size suit I wear.